Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for always keeping us abreast of what you're doing. Help us to be ready and prepared for all things that we will face. Help us to be on point in the center of your perfect will. Train us to trust you. Help us to go forward that we may stand in the evil day and win in the evil day and rescue others from the evil day. Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. And I praise you and I thank you for all that you're doing. Bless Sister Mary as she speaks your word. I thank you that it is anointed. I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for every anointed child of God that loves you. Help us to go forward doing all that's in your heart, hating all the evil, unfruitful works of darkness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Apostle, for that prayer. And we want to start by reviewing what we have studied in the past. We've talked about discerning the Lord's body. And we talked about how God was very present at the crucifixion.
Muted.
In Christ, reconciling the world back to Him. Then last week, we talked about the blood. We located where the blood was shed for us. We know when we look at the Passion of the Christ, it had blood everywhere, and a lot of blood. But John told us last Sunday that in the book of John, the 19th chapter, he said, I was at the crucifixion. And he said, I saw that blood that was shed for you on Calvary. And he said, not only that, I wrote about it so that you could believe in it. And the blood that he seen coming out of Jesus' side, he said that was eternal life. He said, I bear witness of that, that that was eternal life, nothing else but eternal life. Now, he didn't say anything else about any other the blood that was shed, but he said, when I seen that blood and water coming out of his side, and we know that his side was pierced by one of the soldiers. When the soldiers came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, and we know that Jesus gave up the ghost. He gave his life. They couldn't take his life, but he gave it for us. And when the soldiers got to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, he got to thinking. He said, now this is the man that raised people from the dead, and we see many, many miracles. He said, when I report to the high priests, I want to make sure I can tell him that this man is dead. So he took the spear to his side. And out of his side, John said, it just flowed out. Blood and water. And he said, I bear record of that. And he wrote about it in the epistle of John. John, the 5th chapter. And let's start at the 8th verse. He said, and there are three that bear witness in earth. The spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. And John began to tell you, now, if you're going to receive the testimony of man, receive the testimony of God. Because these three are testifying. And they're still testifying. And they agree. Sometimes it's hard to get three people to agree on what they seen. But John said these three agree. of the three that I bear record of. You know, we had a lot to say about that. But I want to move on to what I want to continue to talk about today. I want to continue to talk about the blood. The subject today is faith in the blood of Jesus. You know, we hear and we have a lot of knowledge, head knowledge about. We even found out the right place where the blood came, where the blood was shed for you. And that was very significant. And we told you why we went. I'm not going to go through all that again, but we did tell you why. But, you know, in knowing all that, if we don't have faith in that blood of Jesus, it takes faith. The Lord is the author and the finisher of our faith. So we must have faith in the blood of Jesus to access all the things that the blood done for us. And it's very important that we just take the time to trust the Holy Spirit to give us revelation of the blood of Jesus. Trust the Holy Spirit to open your spiritual eyes, to give a deeper spiritual insight. We want to press into the full power of that new life that blood has provided for us. But that only comes by faith in the blood. Now, today I'm going to give you two snapshots. And they're going to be of two people. One had faith in the blood. And the other snapshot is going to be a person who had knowledge of the blood, but did not use faith in the blood. And to do that, we're going to need to go to the book of Genesis today to study that. And that's Genesis, the 4th chapter. We're going to talk about, like I said, two people. One had faith in the blood, and the other one just had knowledge of the blood. Just having knowledge of the blood is not going to give you all access, all the things that the blood provides for us. And, you know, we told you about all the things that the blood provides for you. But if you don't take faith in that blood, you won't be able to access that. Now, the reason I'm going to Genesis to talk about that blood is because even in the book of Hebrew, when we go to the 11th chapter of Hebrew, it tells you about Abel. And let's go that verse. It says, by faith. He did it how? He did it by faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. When you can give a gift and God testify of his gift, and by it being dead yet speaking, his gift is still speaking. What he offered up to God, we're still testifying. We're still talking about it. Simply because he took his faith. The 11th chapter, he got into the hall of faith, the 11th chapter of faith. And all that's in here are old patriots that took their faith and built their world that they wanted. And we see here that Abel offered a sacrifice. And God called it a more excellent sacrifice. It was the sacrifice God was looking for. It was what God had asked for. It was the it's going to take faith for us. Mm-hmm. We wasn't around the cross. We didn't see the blood that John saw. But it still takes faith in the blood to access all those great things that we said the blood offer us. Now, we see Abel in the book of Hebrew. Now, let's go to the book of Genesis and look at it there. Genesis, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read the first verse. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. You know, all through Genesis until Mary's, the mother of Jesus' time, they were looking for this Messiah to come, this man-child, this one that would deliver, that would bring them what God had promised them in the third chapter. But it couldn't do it without blood. And she said, I've gotten a man-child from the Lord. You know, people say when Mary, when the angel came to Mary, they said she didn't even know what he was. She knew exactly, because that had been going around all through the generations. But she just told him, said, I didn't know you was going to come to somebody so poor. I thought you would come maybe to the upper class person. I'm a little poor. She said, but be it unto me according to your word.
Amen.
And the second verse says, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain, to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why art thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lies at your door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know, God was just talking to Cain. Cain got upset because when Abel offered his sacrifice unto the Lord, God accepted it. He accepted it by fire. And Cain saw that, and Cain seen that it was no fire under his. He couldn't, that God did not accept it. And Cain got very upset with the Lord. But God said, Cain, you know what I require. He said, why are you getting upset? You know I require the blood. Why are you bringing me this? Cain wanted to bring him something that he wanted to give him. And he wanted God to accept it. But God said, I'm not accepting that. Cain really didn't have faith for blood. He didn't have the faith for the blood sacrifice. He said, the blood sacrifice ain't going to do nothing. But we see his brother had faith for it. He said, I believe in the blood sacrifice. I believe it's going to help my sin. It's going to cover my sin. You know, people say what it was Cain didn't know. Cain was the oldest. He knew because his parents knew. When his parents tried to pull that, bringing veggies and putting on her veggie outfit, fig leaves. God said, no. Y'all done sinned. You have sinned. And it's definitely going to take blood. And he killed an animal. And then he clothed him. So Cain knew he had to bring blood, but he was trying to do what his dad and mom had did. Give God what he wanted. It was easier just to pick up some, and it's not that he didn't probably bring him his best vegetable. That's what made Cain mad. I gave you my best vegetables. I gave you what I tilted out of the ground, and the ground was cursed. But yet he wanted God to take that for his sin. And God told him, Cain, if you do right, you have no reason for this. I mean, but because he didn't have faith, he didn't have faith for the blood. Do you have faith for the blood? I'm asking all of the students on the line. You got to create, the Holy Spirit would help you to create and give you spiritual insight that you can have that faith for that blood. God is just not going to accept anything. Mm-hmm. He's accepting only the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It was one pastor said he had a vision, and he said he went to heaven. And he said when he got up there, he said, Peter said, why should I let you in? And he said, I began to tell Peter, pay my offering, and, you know, I'm a pretty good, you know, pastor. And he went on and on with his list. And Peter said, nah. And he said that he took him to Jesus. And Jesus said, man, it's the blood. It's not all this. It's not that we don't do works, but work is not where it is. It's your faith in the blood. Mm-hmm. We work because we have faith in the blood.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, Jesus, when he came on the scene, and he was talking to the Pharisees and to different ones in Luke 11 and the 50th chapter, he called Abel a prophet. Mm-hmm. He said, he told him this. When Jesus came in the 11th chapter of Luke talking to the Pharisees, and they really wanted to kill Jesus right then and there. Jesus said, you've always, every time a prophet comes to talk to you, you want to kill him. And he and this is what he, in the 50th chapter, 11 of Luke in the 50th chapter, in the 50th verse, he said that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required on this generation. From the blood of Abel until the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. He was saying, he called Abel a prophet there. And Jesus called him, he said, and I'm a prophet, I'm coming to you too, to let you know the blood, the kingdom of God is near you, and the blood is here to save you from your sins, and you want to kill me. He said, but there's no surprise, because you did that from Abel to Zacharias, and you want to kill this prophet today, is no different. But as we go back to the book of Genesis and we finish reading, the conversation that Cain and the Lord had, and at the 7th verse, Now let's go down to the 8th verse. And Cain talked, after Cain had talked with God, and God is trying to get Cain to change himself. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field. See, Cain and Abel went to the field to talk to Cain. That Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Why? Jesus said because he was a prophet and he was telling him about the blood sacrifice. And Cain was just mad. I don't want to hear about no blood sacrifice. I know about the blood sacrifice where I brought him my vegetables. And he could accept that. But when you don't have faith and just head knowledge, we just don't want to have head knowledge in the blood of Jesus. We want to have faith in the blood of Jesus so it can produce to us what it said it will do. You know, some people, church people are saying, I mean, you hear very little message about the blood. You're here come Easter time and Passover. You hear a little bit about the blood preach. But they don't preach on the blood and speak on the blood because they don't see the blood working for them like they should. But you got to place your faith in the blood to get it to work like it should. You know, they were saying in a couple of churches, they tore all the blood. And these were what they call Christian. In our day and time, they did this. Out of the hymn book, they tore all the blood songs out. And then they won't preach on the blood, they say. They're not going to preach on the blood. Simply because they said that's too graphic. And I said, these are the same people that watch TV of all this blood sharing. But they said God's blood is just too violent, it's too graphic, and they don't want to talk about the blood. It's simply because they don't have the faith in the blood. They don't realize the power in the blood. And we're wondering what's wrong with the church now, but they don't have faith for the blood. What the blood accomplished at the cross. But in our next class, because I see my time is closing in on me, we're going to talk a little bit more about the blood. Because we're going to build that faith through the blood. We're going to do it through the Spirit. And we're not just going to not only have knowledge, head knowledge. We're going to have a working knowledge of the blood. Because the blood still works. It hadn't changed. No. It hadn't lost its power.
Amen.
The blood still held the power to do what we need to do. Praise God. And if we would just, Jesus is about to bring us into a great revival. Where we're not going to be beholding man, we're not going to be beholding coronavirus, and that we're going to be beholding the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's the answer to the sins of the world. We have great men in high places sitting down there trying to figure out the answer for the world. Well, it is written in the Word of God. Just go there and get the faith for the blood. Faith in the blood of Jesus and all that it can do. Praise God, students. That's what we're going to be looking forward to. Okay, my time is closing in on me, but faith in the blood of Jesus, we must have.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a head knowledge, That's a very important step we must take. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit said, I'll teach you. I want to reveal the blood to you. And let me tell you, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus to us. Now, who more can reveal the blood to us than one there that was testifying of the blood? One of the three witnesses. He said, I want to help you to get a working knowledge of the blood so we can behold the Lamb of a God that take away the sins of the world. That we once again can come back to the table of God and understand what's on the table and receive from it. Okay, I'm stopping. I hope y'all got y'all elements together so we can take the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And if you have them, I want you to hold up the bread. I want you to hold up his body. I want you to give thanks unto the God. You even got to have faith for this table that he's prepared for you. Because guess what? Blood is on the table. You have a blood covenant. All your promises have blood on it. So we must have faith in the blood. So we're going to hold the bread up and we're going to say, Lord, we thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for the love that you showed at the cross.
Thank you for your great love.
To me, it's the greatest love story that I have ever seen. And as we hold this bread up to you, we just want to behold the Lamb of God. Thank you that this is your